tiny room.
One room.
Tiny room.
Yes. So, cups.
One cup.
So we're with WXLB. It's a radio station outside of Allentown. Okay. So just wanted to tune in.
What's up with the Croc Rock?
Liquor license. Yeah, they lost their liquor license, and then they were like scamming people with tickets and stuff, pretending to be Ticketmaster when they weren't.
Bad business practices.
I actually had to get a refund today because turns out they were printing their own tickets on Ticketmaster stock paper.
Yeah. Bastards.
Yeah.
It's happening a lot, actually.
Yeah. So they're kind of, they lost all their shows now, for the most part.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to record to that. And
ready to go?
Stand, sit, stand. What do you want to do?
Why don't you sit and I'll stand? Or I can sit and you can stand. Or when you guys want to sit and stand.
Knee.
Ooh,
right about there.
Let's just do it like this.
Someone could crouch in there.
That's true.
You guys are comfortable, that's what matters.
We're good. All right.
All right, so first off, congratulations on the reception for CoinOyuCon, both critically, I mean, Revolver's best album of 2012, and more importantly, for the fans. Everyone seems to like it. You guys sounded rejuvenated on Diamond Eyes, and I was wondering how you're going to, you know, follow that, but you did, definitely. It almost seemed like CoinOyuCon was a second chapter to the first chapter of Diamond Eyes. Was there a conscious decision to continue that momentum?
I mean, we had a blast. We adopted a whole new of writing and recording and making records with that record with Diamond Eyes, you know. And it was a really kind of joyous process where it hadn't been so much in the past. But you know, at certain times, of course. But we made the record and then we went on the road for about a year and a half. But we were so excited to make another one, you know. So we just basically just adopted that again. And you know, what a great way after doing it in a broken manner for many years to have it go.
It wasn't really a conscious decision, it just the flow was there because there wasn't really a lot of downtime between the records. I think a month at most or whatever. We went home for a month and then we just went right back into the studio and started writing. So I think wherever we were then, it was natural that it was kind of, we were right by there, you know what I mean? Right. So it wasn't far to pick up from where we were. Not that we were trying to, you know.
Cool. Now, I think I heard that Chino said something to the effect of him writing some heavier stuff on guitar than people would normally associate with Steph doing. Aside from that instance, were there any different approaches that you took with the new album?
No, I mean, I think with us, it's how everyone's feeling. And we were feeling, like you said, you know, rejuvenated. We had confidence in as a band again, being able to write and write a record and go into the studio and knock it out rather than wasting, you know, like, you know, different methods we've done over the years, but man, it was a renewed confidence, man, and as a band, like, wow, we can do this, man. So, and it was electric, you know what I mean? So
we've always tried to just create something cool and follow that. While someone's making something cool, we all kind of jump on it and build on it. And I know it's cliche to think that Stefan comes with the heavier stuff, but he does. In all honesty, he's the heavier writer guy, but he also comes with the most pussiest shit too. You know what I mean? Like, and it happens with all of us too. You know, it's not always just person has the part, you know what I mean? It's just whatever we can do to make something sound cool.
I'm Hulk Hogan and a pussy at the same time.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Just like the real one.
Suburban Commando.
Oh.
That's tough.
Now, since Sergio was involved with the album, not just playing bass, but from what I heard, when Nick, the producer, was unavailable, he would actually, you know, sit in the chair and do some engineering and things like that. Do you see a scenario?
No, he recorded, you know, he's the one who had the free computer to record our rehearsals.
Yeah, we're like jamming stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, down the line, do you see him maybe taking on a more active role?
He's pretty active.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're all equal and we all do the same, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we try and just make it good for each other, you know what I mean?
Cool. Now, Diamond Eyes spawned a number of really cool music videos. Do you see CoinOyuCon being as productive in terms of that?
I think in time. You know, we had our first single come out. We really didn't do anything for it. But I think there might be a couple things coming out for the next single.
Yeah, we have some stuff coming in the pipeline. We have a video that we shot that's coming out soon. And, you know, what it was is the record came out and we actually went home for the holidays. It just so happened it came out right before the holidays. So we went home. You know, we're older guys and people got families and stuff. So we took a little more extended break, which was good.
10 weeks.
Yeah, which is a lot for what we do. You know what I mean? And and now we're out here on this cycle and we plan to be out here for a while. So.
All right. Now, I've heard that, I guess with most writing sessions, you had more material than end up on the final album. Do you think anything will come of anything?
We didn't.
Okay.
Oh, we had a couple extras, but I mean, we had like 30 extras. No. It's not we usually, honestly, we tend to do most of the editing, and I don't, you know, in terms of like when writing, like if something's not sticking, it's kind of tossed away quickly, you know, and we do a lot of the nitpicking and editing as we go.
As we're writing.
So
we're building the song, right?
And we try to make a record, you know, and once someone says, you know, we feel we have enough, then, but that's the album. I mean, where some bands might go and write 300 songs for, you know, come on, man, you know, which is bullshit anyways, because they're lying.
There was a lot of stuff recorded because we were recording the jamming and stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean there was a lot of songs. Okay. You know what I mean? So there's just a lot of
ideas, though, man.
Us throwing tons. Ideas around to fuse those to make a song. You know? Right. Yeah.
So I've heard you guys usually make your set list last minute. Is that true?
Sort of.
Yeah. How do five people, you know, with a huge catalog of music, get together and figure out, well, this is what we're gonna play tonight?
There's a little bit of a science to it, actually, kind of. I mean, there's a lot to do with tunings and certain songs that work together, and certain songs we like to play, certain songs we know that someone might hear, so we try and pull something out of, you know, a vault that we haven't played for a while. And then, you know, it's not really last minute where we just kind of pull it out of thin air.
It used to be back in the day before we had, I mean, each record is a different tuning, which makes it really difficult because we try to play blocks of songs from a record, or at least two, because you're swapping guitars every time, and it breaks the whole,
flow, you know what I mean? So,
and lights, you know, when you're carrying stuff with it, you know, the lighting guy is able to you know, program things and get things pretty close, but you want to have some sort of continuity. But at the same time, you don't want to be the band that's playing the same set every night. Right. And we never have been that band, but I mean, it's a fine line.
It's one thing to play the same set every couple nights and then switch it, and then, you know, so, you know, we're within that realm, you know what I mean? But to say that we do it last second, I don't think that's very.
Used to be extremely last second, man. Like, goddamn!
But it's, you know, three records then, whatever.
It's a little preview of tonight. You don't have to tell us what tracks, but like a little bit of everything, or
seven words, 20 times.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's always a little bit of something. That's the thing. It's like, it's hard to fit seven records in an hour and a half, 45 minutes, 2 hours. Yeah. You know what I mean, so. And then within what we were just saying, so it's kind of a little bit of a.
It's really a tuning thing. The tuning thing really breaks up, like, you know, the guitar changes make it crazy, man.
If you had a different song and a different tuning each song, then there'd be this big break between.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Swapping, you know, and it really fucks the momentum
on
stage,
like swapping instruments. It doesn't make for a flow.
Yeah,
and these are things kids don't think about.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. We've talked to other bands too, and they never have mentioned that. And like, it shows the veteran status of you guys. I mean, to say something like that.
There's a lot. There's, like I said, it's a little bit of science. You know, it's just, I mean, you're just writing a set list, but there is a lot that goes into, like you mentioned, lights and different things, and us, how we're feeling that day, and especially what Chino wants to sing that night too. Yeah. That's a factor. His voice, if he's feeling good or not. You know what I mean? So there's a bunch of little things that equate to it, but. It has less to do with being lazy if we do play sets the same night every other night or whatever, but, and more of it being, you know, like he said, continuity.
So I'm sure you guys have already been asked, but I'm curious, why no covers on the new record in the session?
We were supposed to do covers, actually. Yeah. It was just logistically.
What were you looking at?
We didn't really pinpoint them. But there was a short list of songs, I guess you could say, and that's kind of how the other times we've done them before, like. When we did the Diamond Eyes covers, we had some time. We booked the studio, and we had a short list, and then we kind of whittled it to these three. And we learned them. We learned those three songs in 2 days.
And knocked them out. Yeah, it was great.
You know what I mean?
It's always sort of a tradition. It's become a tradition at the end of each cycle that we do record some covers for fun, you know. And it's always become tradition.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it bites you in the ass too, because people expect it. Yeah. And it's kind of like a guest on your record, because that's always been like. It happens. It's not like we're gonna get this person on this record.
We got Kendrick Lamar, Kanye.
No, you know what I mean? But it's like it's kinetic, man. It's about what happens, you know what I mean? And it just so happens we didn't do the cover thing. Not to say we still wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's always been a more fun thing and never a strategic.
Yeah.
Deftones got to do an 80s cover. And, you know, because that's how it feels sometimes when people are, now they're expecting it. Yeah. And it makes us feel good that we didn't do it kind of in a way because, you know,
we came from
the 80s. Expecting
leave people wanting more.
Well, wanting more and but not also to be expecting things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot to be said for to not just have people, especially in this day and age with social media and everything, and people want.
Blasting, tweeting.
Sometimes you just say, fuck that. You don't get everything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
Life, you don't get everything you fucking want. You know, I mean, this is.
A message for you listeners, by the way.
No, hey, c'est la vie. That's just life. Come on, man. But, you know, but appreciate life. Take your time. Slow down.
I'm really happy you guys decided to release like the vinyl over the last couple of months, 2 years period. Because I big vinyl fan, and it sounds amazing, White Pony especially. But was that, I mean, I assume that was received pretty well because I know it sold pretty well.
It did, yeah.
Is that what sparked the interest in doing this live series that's coming up?
That was a record store
thing.
That's a record store thing.
The cool thing about record stores is doing something cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And everyone does something a little bit, you know, kind of cool. So, but that actually is going to spawn a series. It starts on record store day.
I guess, what, to the November record store day?
Yeah, I believe so. But the cool thing about that is that we're actually digging through and finding tracks that were from that record in that era, not like, you know, last night playing fucking adrenaline tracks. Yeah. So. It kind of makes it true.
That kind of leads to my next question.
What is that question?
Well, you have I saw the track listing for the Adrenaline live record.
Right.
How do you guys? I mean, you have so many recordings. How do you go through that? How do you figure out what you want to represent you from that era and time period?
Like
the band?
There was, you know, a time when it went out to all of us, and we were also kind of trying to find what we had or whatever. And Abe actually sits on a lot of stuff, but then I think the stuff that ended up cultivating, Chino went through it at home in the studios and kind of picked what was best, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
We didn't know if we'd be talking to Chino or not, so I can ask you guys maybe. You don't have to answer for him, but what is Palms going to sound like? Have you heard it?
I have not.
All right, we were just curious, wanted to throw that out there.
Probably like a palm tree, I would think.
Yeah.
Probably like Isis, which the Deftones singer.
Or maybe like a sunny, when I think palm, I think sunny California, like the Eagles. Probably like the Eagles. Hotel California, palms.
I always ask this question because I do the new music show on the station. Is there anything you guys have been listening to right now that you recommend to listeners that's come out recently?
What bands or albums? What music do you play on your show?
I'm all over the place. I play anything from metal to folk. It just depends like what's up and what's coming out.
It's a really, really different question. I mean, it's one of the hardest questions in life.
You hear this right here? I mean, in all honesty, our music selection runs the gamut. And we're pretty good on our fingers on the pulse of what's, you know, good dance music, good hip-hop music, good rock music, but classic music, you know what I mean? We went and saw some buddies recently when we were home, Gojira.
Oh yeah.
That's a great record.
Gojira.
Yeah. Gojira!
Yeah, I know that. You know, I played them before.
Yeah. They're just good dudes. I mean, but that's a metal thing, you know, but it's a lot of music, man. Music lovers.
I listen to a lot of dance music, too, and that's just, that list could go forever, you know what I mean? So that, not to get out of the question, but that's just really hard.
Understandable. Yeah. JJ has a similar question to follow up with that.
A little more dire, but if you're stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life,
nothing at all.
Prince, Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
The waves colliding with the sand.
Atmospheric, okay.
Yes.
I got one more question. This is kind of like a bonus question.
Uh-oh.
It's actually more, I don't know if it's a question even. I just want to get a reaction. I told all my friends that I was interviewing you guys.
Yes.
Something bad. And they were like, oh, that's so awesome. And we started talking about Deftones because I've been listening to you guys since I was like 13. And everyone came to the conclusion that the Deftones are the best band to bang to. I'll put it radio friendly.
I've heard this too, yeah. Fornicate.
Fornicate. That's
have you ever fornicated?
I've fornicated before, yes, I have. It's pretty neat.
Have you ever heard that before?
Yes,
yeah.
For a while, there was a spike in the U.S. population, actually worldwide population, of babies born around between White Pony and Setting at Risk.
But, I can see that.
But now, Kono Yokan is out and it's fucking through. It's in the stratosphere.
But all those babies are on crack now.
Yes, they're crack babies. It's a new epidemic.
Nice.
Bang, bang, bang.
That's like we like to make music that is fucking, you know, aggressive and sexy
That you could fuck to.
Yeah, or fight.
Aggressive. I always told myself if I ever owned a strip club, I'd just play the Deftones 24/7.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
It's fun. I went one time to a strip club. I've never been except for one time. Yeah. And it was actually, they played a song and it was pretty neat. The girls were writhing to it. They were gyrating and grinding.
But then we found out it was like a transvestite club.
Fair enough, though, man. Hey, it takes all types to make the world go round. Takes all types to make the world go round, brother.
Nice. Well, thank you guys for doing the interview. Can we get a photo and radio spots real quick?
Sure, yes,
there you go. All right. We got a little printout for you.
I don't want everyone to read.
Oh, no. What's up?
It's a bit embarrassing.
It's okay. It's okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, so check it out. You just say it.
Man,
hey, this is Frank.
Ooh. Do it again.
Ooh. You do Abe and Deftones.
I know, motherfucker.
What's up? This is Frank. Come on, man. I want you.
All right, come on.
Hey, man. Trying to record here, man.
No, we got good music going on. All right,
that's cool.
What's up? This is Frank.
And Abe from Deftones.
You're listening to Josh, the Radio Pirate, on WXLV Radio. All right, we'll do the other one too, yeah? All right, what's up? This is Frank.
And Abe from Deftones.
Yeah, you're listening to JJ's Decent Exposure Radio on WXLV.
If you just get one photo, and we'll let you guys be on your way.
Yes, man.
Thank you very much.